David had set his heart on building a house for the Lord. The Lord said, "You won't build a house for me. Your son will do that, but I will build your house." And how David was filled with such great joy and gratitude that he might be built by, that his house might be built by the Lord. We're also going to be looking in the back of our songbooks at Lord's Day 52, bringing to a conclusion our series through the Heidelberg Catechism as well. But first, let's read from 1 Chronicles 29, 1 Chronicles 29, starting at verse 10 and reading to verse 13. That's found on page 420, 420 in our pew Bibles. 1 Chronicles 29 at verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." That's as far as reading from 1 Chronicles, then, in the back of our songbooks. We're going to be looking specifically at question and answer 128. That's page 896. 896. With Lord's Day 52, I'll read the question. Let's respond with the answer together. How do you conclude this prayer? How do you conclude the Lord's Prayer? And the answer is, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." This means that we have made all these petitions of you because, as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good. And because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism of this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, why do you pray? Notice I didn't ask you, do you pray? Because as God's people, we are people of prayer. It is not a question of if we pray, we do pray. The question is this, why do you pray? What moves you? What purpose do you have when you come to the Lord in that inner closet of prayer? There are many reasons why a Christian could be motivated to pray. For one reason, prayer is good for the soul. In prayer, we are reminded of who God is and what He has done. Prayer stirs our hearts to give God the praise, as we're going to see in just a few moments. Another reason we could pray is because prayer is commanded. We are called, as God's people, to call upon the Lord. "Call upon me in the day of trouble." So we could pray in order to be obedient to the command of God. A third reason we can pray is because it's the natural consequence to being joined to our God by Christ by faith. Being united to our God with a heart of faith, trusting in Christ, has a conclusion, a natural consequence that we want to commune with the God who has called us His own. As adopted children, we delight, we desire to commune with our Heavenly Father, as Jesus Christ Himself taught us. As we come to the conclusion of our catechism with Lord's Day 52 and the last phrase that we utter together with the Lord's Prayer, we find that here in this conclusion, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," what we are doing is we are being united together as a church and being reminded of where we have come, of what we have confessed. In many ways, the closing of prayer, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," is a summary of what we have already said. But this time, instead of making it a petition, something we are asking for, we are making it a declaration. It is a statement. Instead of asking for God's name to be honored and glorified, we are saying, your name is honored and glorified. We can add nothing to the glory of your holy name. We are making a statement. The fact is, as we reflect on the attributes of God and the person of God and the power of God, as we commune with that same God in our prayers, our hearts will be stirred. Prayer bursts forth from us like a dam being broken apart. Water gushing forth. Prayer springing from a heart that knows who God is and what He has done. To say this another way, the conclusion of prayer is the church's response to the gift of prayer. But who here thinks that they pray enough? Or that they always pray in the proper way? It is almost a universal fact that Christians feel guilty for not praying enough, and even when they pray, they don't feel like they've prayed in the proper manner. But prayer is not supposed to be given to us as just another object, a list of things that we all fail at. Prayer is given to us as a divine privilege, a gift. Prayer should be a joy, a privilege. So today we are going to focus on three main reasons why we are to pray, the sweet hour of prayer. And as we meditate upon these reasons, hopefully we will move beyond feeling guilty for not praying enough and delight in the prayer that God has given to us, desiring and delighting in it as a gift. We look at this theme that Jesus Christ gives us the gift of prayer so that we might gladly commune with Him. Jesus Christ gives us the gift of prayer so that we would gladly commune with our God. In our first point, then, we find that prayer is designed to reorient our lives. Worship as a whole, but specifically in prayer, when we come to God in prayer, there is a reorientation, there is a changing, a transition that takes place in our lives. What we see going around us, what we experience in our day-to-day lives, is put in a different, a proper context. When we start prayer by confessing, "Our Father who art in heaven, your name is holy." That's how we begin prayer. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Your name is glorified. Your name is to be revered. Prayer is the response of the church, the words of those who have seen who the Lord is, and they marvel at His works and how He has made Himself known. This moves us as God's people to acknowledge what is true. We pray in the first petition, "May your name be praised, may your name be glorified," and then we close our prayers, "For yours is the glory, for yours is all adoration, honor, and praise. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever." It's yours. It belongs to you. You deserve it. It belongs to none other. So we acknowledge what is true. Now we're simply doing that which we have asked the Lord in the first petition. "Lord, we want your name to be glorified." So what do in prayer? We glorify God in prayer. Beautiful simplicity. The very petition we have asked for, the Holy Spirit is enabling us to do at the end of our prayer. "Oh Lord, you deserve all honor. And let me say it, let me give you that honor here in prayer." So the first reason we pray, and indeed the first purpose for prayer, is this: to give God the honor and glory that is due His name. Far too often, if your prayer is like mine, our prayer is filled with things that we want, things that we need, pressing issues. And we forget that prayer began with that first petition and it ends with the closing. "God, the whole reason I'm here in prayer is to honor you and to glorify you." Isn't that what we were made for? Isn't that the purpose of humanity? Why did God put people on the face of this earth? To glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. So the purpose in our prayers is to honor and glorify the holy name of our God. And this has a direct effect upon how we view ourselves. The more highly exalted our God is in our view, the more proper we view ourselves, and we grow in understanding how we are to humble ourselves. As we identify the greatness of our God, a proper sense of the self soon follows. So a secondary reason why we pray is because in prayer we are being taught to humble ourselves before a holy God. As Isaiah was humbled when he was brought into the presence of a holy God in Isaiah 6, remember how Isaiah responded, hearing, seeing the holiness of God high and lifted up, where the angels are crying out all day, every day, 24/7, every moment, for all eternity, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah's response is, woe is me. He humbles himself. We read this in Isaiah, or in Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto you be glory given. In prayer, we're saying, it's not my kingdom, it's not my glory, it's not my power, my honor. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Let my life reflect what is true. It's not about me, it's not about my kingdom, my life, my prayer, my existence is about you. Let my life, let my prayer be made to honor you, because you, O Lord, are great, and there is none other. We catch a glimpse of this, and I hope you still have your Bibles open, in this beautiful prayer. And if you're reading in 1 Chronicles 29 here, you will see the direct connection between the closing of the Lord's Prayer that the church confesses and here David's prayer. Remember the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer that we prayed together. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now listen again to these words. Listen for kingdom, power, and glory. David prayed this. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty, think kingdom, majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. David acknowledges what is true. And prayer is an overflowing of a grateful heart. But if you still have your finger on verse 13, look at what happens in verse 14. Remember I said before, the greater God's glory is in our view, the more properly we view ourselves. After this anthem, this refrain of praising God, what does David say about himself? But who am I? Who am I? And who are these people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything that the Israelites had brought together for the building of the temple, all this huge amount of gold and silver and precious and costly gems and precious clothing and fabric. All of these things, David said, have been given to us from you. Everything comes from you. What we have given you only comes from what has been given to us from your hands. We're aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all of our forefathers. Our days are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand and it all belongs to you. Brother and sister in Christ, what is your life? Who gave you everything you have? Who is the author? Who is the fount and source of every good and perfect gift? So in prayer, we thank God. We praise God for all that He has given to us. We pray because we want to acknowledge what is true, to glorify the name that is above all names. God does not guilt us into praying. He woos us to prayer as He shows Himself to us. He wins us over as He reveals who He is. We're motivated by His glory and a thankful heart. And that's why we pray. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. And let me acknowledge this truth in my prayers. But although prayer begins and ends with acknowledging God's power, glory, and kingdom, there is certainly time to ask for the things that we need. In our second point, we are moved to pray because we are so dependent. Now, children, you may not know what this word means, dependent, but your parents know it when it comes time to file their taxes. A dependent is simply someone who relies on another. For example, children, you are a dependent of your parents. They're responsible for you. They care for you. You are the needy one, the dependent, and you look to another to provide. Well, did you know that you are a dependent of God? That not only are you completely reliant upon Him, but He has responsibility for you. That He loves you and He cares for you as a father loves and cares for his own child. In fact, better than earthly fathers love and care for their own children, our Heavenly Father sees us and is committed to our protection and our well-being as our loving Father. David said this in 29 verse 14, all things come from you, of you, what you have given to us. And again, 29 verse 16, all this abundance comes from your hand and it is your own. So in addition to being motivated by who God is and acknowledging God's greatness, His power, and His glory, we are motivated to pray because of our complete dependence and need. As a loving Father, our God delights to hear the prayers of His children. All that we have is from His hand, and we need to acknowledge that whatever we receive, whatever good gifts we are given, that we are to see Him as the author, as the fount from which we have received those blessings. And what are we to pray for? What are we to ask for? We're to ask for everything that we need. All things that are necessary for body and soul, we look to Him, and we ask Him to provide. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That which we need for our body and soul, our spiritual and physical well-being, we ask of the Lord, acknowledging that He alone can provide. I cannot provide for these things on my own. I need them from your hand. I know and I confess my complete dependence, my complete reliance. So when we confess, for yours is the power, we are saying you are able to do that which pleases you. You are able to do that which is necessary. As our catechism says, in this prayer we confess He is able. Yours is the power. He is able to do immeasurably more than we think and imagine. The bounty of the forest and the surplus of the seas, the cattle on 1,000 hills, all belong to Him. He is able to but shake the heavens and cause His blessings to fall like rain. What do we have in our hands that has not been given to us from our gracious, loving, and all-powerful God? So in this prayer, we learn to look to the hand of the Father of lights, calling upon Him in our time of trouble, knowing that He will hear and answer us. Prayer teaches us to look to the proper place, to call upon the proper person in our times of need. Prayer deepens our dependence as we lean into that need and we knock on the door of heaven, knowing that He will hear, He will answer, and He will open. But there's one more aspect to why we pray. Not only do we pray because we are so dependent and needy, we pray because we have the confidence of children who knows that God hears and answers and will provide. You see, prayer is not only something that Jesus teaches us, prayer is something that Jesus enables us to do. We not only learn to identify ourselves as dependents, we learn to identify ourselves as children, dearly loved children, children of a heavenly Father. As our catechism puts it, God is not only able to, but He will give us all that we need. Father, our Father, is willing to give us all that which is necessary. He delights to hear our prayers, and He will give us what is necessary. So the third reason that we should pray is because we can have complete faith, complete confidence that our Father will hear and answer us according to His good will. We can boldly lay claim to the promises that He gives us in His Word. Romans 10 verse 11 says that everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Do you believe in Jesus? I'll read that again. Romans 10 verse 11. Everyone who believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, then the Father will not let you be put to shame. When you call on the loving Father, He will not ignore your requests and your petitions. He will not let the prayers of His people go unanswered because they are His children, calling upon Him in the name of His Son. So we can pray with hearts of faith because we have a loving Father. We trust in Him to hear and to answer and to provide. The purpose of prayer is to remind us once again, to stir our hearts of faith. I know God is faithful. He will do that which He has said. In prayer, the Holy Spirit is building that faith within our heart, encouraging that faith so that we pray and we are reminded that flame is stirred, knowing that God hears and answers because these words are uttered in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer changes us, and our faith grows within us. Now, before we close, there's one more aspect to prayer, and that is, why do we pray if God is sovereign? Have you ever thought about that? If prayer is in asking God for something, and God is sovereign, and He knows everything, and God has sovereignly ordained everything that has happened and will happen, why do we pray? Why should we call upon a God who is sovereign? We cannot change God's mind, right? Well, we have to remember that prayer is more than just asking for something. We have to remember that we pray to a sovereign, loving, all-knowing God who delights to hear from us, who wants to remind us of who He is. We pray because we are dependent on God, and in prayer that faith is stirred. And although it is true that prayer doesn't change the mind of God in the sense that He alters His sovereign will, we must remember that prayer itself is a part of God's sovereign plan. To say this another way, God does not just ordain the end of the matter, He ordains the middle of the matter. We call this, in theology, concurrence. God uses secondary means. So if God has it in His sovereign will to bless His people, He also has it in His sovereign will to use prayer as a means to secure those blessings, to pour out those blessings upon us. It's kind of like how good works function in the Christian life. Does God know in advance which works you will perform Absolutely. But are you still called to perform them? Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So if we apply this to prayer, we could put it this way. We are redeemed in Jesus Christ in order to receive grace, which God prepared beforehand that we should pray for that which we will receive. God calls us to pray so that He can answer those prayers, and in answering those prayers, bless us, which is part of His sovereign plan. So He could say that both the blessing and the prayer asking for the blessing is a part of God's sovereign will. God uses prayer as a part of His eternal plan. God knows His people will be people of prayer, and He is delighted to answer that prayer. Do you know that one of the things that in Scripture, in the book of John, we are told to pray for is to pray for grace and the Holy Spirit? Knowing that we are told to pray for grace and for the Holy Spirit, Jesus says that God will give those people who ask for grace and ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give it to them. He will give them their request. So God not only ordains grace and the Holy Spirit to be given to God's people, He ordains prayer as the means by which we ask for that which He has promised. And in that way, that faith in our hearts is stirred, and we learn to trust in Him all the more. To conclude, prayer is sometimes seen more as a chore than a blessed gift. But let our hearts be stirred to remember what prayer is. In Scripture, we are told to pray everywhere and at all times. How can we pray everywhere and at all times? Well, prayer is a natural part of the lives of God's people. It is a proper response to His presence and His promises. Prayer, when we see who God is, what He has done, and what He promises, prayer responds by asking God for what He has promised and thanking God when those promises find their fulfillment in our lives. It helps you remember what prayer is. Prayer is simply communion with God. It's a conversation between a child and his loving Father. Jesus Christ gives us the gift of prayer so that we might gladly commune with our God. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift. So in your prayers, ask God for that which He has told us to ask for, and praise God for who He is. Prayer is made of praise and petitions. Remember that prayer is a gift that God gives to the church. We started prayer by saying, "Our Father in heaven." If you find it hard to know what to pray for, expand the borders of your prayers. "Our Father in heaven." It's not "me and my," it's "our Father." Why should we praise God? Well, what is He doing in your life? What's He doing in the life of your family? What's He doing in the life of the church? What's He doing in the world? Our Father. And if you don't know what to ask for, not only what do you need, what does your family need, what does your church need, what does the church in India need? What does the church in Japan need? What does the church in China need? Our Father is the prayer of the church. And prayer uttered with a heart of faith is powerful. So what are you thankful for? Who are you praying to? His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the wonderful gift that prayer is, and that by Your Spirit, we might see You more clearly. And in seeing You, we might acknowledge Your greatness, that we might marvel at Your worth, and that our prayers would be filled with praise. And we thank You also that in prayer, You have instructed us to ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So may we in our prayers ask seek and knock with hearts of faith. We thank you for the gift that you have given to us, that you are delighted to hear our stuttering words in prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.